Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we're out there with our spreadsheets and our clipboards, and we're just taking notes everywhere, and it's really awkward, and no one can figure out what it is we're doing, and the thing that we're doing is finding things for you so that we can join you for our weekly hang.
People hold up their hands and like, no, I'm sorry, I can't sign your petition, I don't want to donate, and we're like, we're not asking anything of you, we're looking for things
you. Yeah, exactly. We're just record keepers. That's it. Don't be threatened by our clipboards and notebooks.
Do not be threatened. I like the idea of us just standing on like Hollywood and Vine in Los Angeles shouting, do not be threatened by our clipboards.
Do not be threatened. We're just thing spotting.
We are just here to find things for you.
I just started reading Foundation. Isaac Asimov, I believe I just tried to call him.
That's him. That's the guy.
Yes, so then I was going to say, I'm just an encyclopedist.
I am just an encyclopedist. I'm also just reading Isaac Asimov's Foundation.
Isaac Asimov's Foundation. I've had my two cups of coffee, too. I can't explain this. Anyway, thank you for joining us.
I can roll out all my
us.
Harry Seldon jokes now. This is great. Yes.
Oh, you totally can. All right, everyone. It's a thing reading club. I mean, because honestly, reading that book is about to be a thing. This is an accidental prediction because of the show coming out. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Before we get into things, though, we should let ourselves pat ourselves on the back, I guess. Variety has an article out July 14th. The fanny pack is the new it bag. Here's how your favorite celebrities are wearing them. And we would like to say to Variety and the celebrities they cover, welcome to the party.
Welcome to the party. I'm trying to figure out when we did this, but I can't remember how to search our spreadsheet. But we definitely had fanny packs on the show. And I remember it vividly because of all of the British people that we know on Twitter and even in the Discord saying, please don't call it that. And they are slowly
being...
For goodness sake, I beg you to stop saying that. Over and over. And I will say they have since then started to be subtly rebranded as belt bags.
It was season 5.
Everywhere.
September 29th, season 5, 2 seasons ago.
Dang.
2019.
Nailed it.
Yes. In fact, if I could find that sound effect, I'd play it right now. But for some reason, I can't find it. I don't know why.
You know, you don't need it. You know, I have to say, So not so long ago, I've been doing all these like little work reporting trips. And then not so long ago, I was on one of those with like a millennial who was rocking the crossbody belt bag, which is where you take the fanny pack, and you wear it across your body so that, you know, the bag itself is sort of like across your chest, and it's very accessible.
Almost like like you'd wear a messenger bag?
Yes, exactly. Like that. But then, so then I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. That seems fine. And then I'm like, no, this ruins the entire point. First, it hurts your shoulder or your neck if you're old after a while. And even if you're not old, I suspect it probably does. And then second, the whole point of it is that you put it around your waist, and then it's like super hands-free and not in the way of anything.
And easy to access.
I'm like, this crossbody thing makes no sense to me. I mean, I guess it's easy to access because it's a little higher up, but no, it's way better around the belt.
That's right, where your hands can easily get to it on the belt and belt size. But a crossbody might be easy to access, might not. I don't know. Kind of at a weird angle, I feel like.
I think it's at a weird angle. And if you open it up just like wrong, your stuff falls out.
Avi James says those are called sling bags.
Sling bag.
Some people calls it a belt bag. I call it a sling bag.
That's true. I mean, there's this one 25-year-old
film reference for this episode. Thanks.
That's See, this is like this one from Everlane is the size of this woman's whole torso. No.
Yeah, that's a torso bag. That's
a torso
body
sling.
Bag, literally.
Practically. Anyway, we're excited that we nailed it. We've been we're tracking. Don't worry, everyone. We're on it. We're tracking the evolution closely.
My first thing for this episode is a reaction to Loki. Side note, with Loki out, everyone's children are making jokes like Loki. I really enjoyed Loki kind of stuff. But you know, like Loki, you know, on the down low kind of usage. Mm-hmm. We're now hearing people say high key. In other words, not on the down low, in your face. I am saying this very, very firmly. I heard it on Snob OS this week, and I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds like it could be a thing. And then Molly, you said like, oh yeah, no, you're hearing
and
that
I
too,
was
right?
Watching a TikTok, which is how you know that it definitely is a thing. Because, and this is funny because the TikTok was about like a weird little sub thing that everybody seems to be realizing, the female tree versus male tree thing. Are you familiar with this?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I am familiar with the female male tree thing. I did not realize that it had been reemerging as a thing.
It's been reemerging as a thing because there has recently been more press about the fact that many municipalities plant more male trees than female trees. I'm just going to sort of paraphrase what this TikToker was saying, but I had seen an article about this a while back. Because the female trees are considered, quote, messier. And so they plant more male trees, but the male trees create more pollen.
Yeah.
So we have more allergies.
Because there's more pollen generating
Because there are more
trees.
Pollen generating trees. And then what this TikToker said was, so, you know, yay botanical sexism. But then she said, and I quote, and I high key believe. Exactly.
Nice.
Yep. Which literally, this morning, before we even sat down to do the show, I was like, I'm going to start saying high key more. That's great.
That's great. That's how do it, folks, right there. That's how we know. You know, we are high key calling it a thing.
We are high key calling it a thing. And what's interesting, I'm going to finish the story because it's crazy. She was like, I high key believe that a big part of the reason that we're not planting more female trees is when we say they're messy, what we mean is they produce more fruit. And so, yes, that can be messy, but if you live in areas that have food deserts, that like big fruit doesn't need you being able to get it for free from trees. Which
I would like to
totally
point out that all trees are both. They may be a little bit one way or another on the spectrum, but classing them as male or female is, in fact, putting them in a box they don't deserve to be in and not recognizing the spectrum of gender within the plant kingdom.
Really? Did you just look
it's
this
true.
Up?
No, I wow. just, that's just true.
You just know this?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Because when I found out about male and female trees, I was like, well, how do you tell? And then I looked, I'm like, oh, you tell because they call it a male tree if it produces more pollen.
More pollen, right.
And they call it a female tree if it produces more fruit. But they all produce pollen and fruit. They're all both. So don't box them in. Let the tree be whatever it wants.
Exactly. But maybe don't plant so many of the pollen ones.
Maybe. That's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. that part for sure.
That part's a simple one.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But anyway, yes. Also, yes. High key, totally a thing. Can't wait to start saying it.
High key.
It's got good drama. I like it. I high key believe.
Also, I feel like we're going from a low key year into a high key year.
We really might be. That is an excellent meta observation. Really true. Well, I can tell you that I'm not going to do anything this year unless it is guided by what the tarot cards have to tell me.
Oh, really? Tarot cards on the way back. All right.
Tarot cards. Totally.
Did you
made
consult
it back.
Them to find out if they're back?
I was like, wait, is this a thing or no? I mean, I suppose that this is not that surprising considering that astrology has been on the upswing and been such a thing, which I believe we have discussed. And so it makes sense that the other kind of mystical arts would come back. I think crystals are making a little bit of a comeback, but the tarot is really on the upswing big time. It's all over TikTok. There's like, in fact, a Yahoo article from Friday, two days ago as we are recording this, like your August tarot card reading according to your zodiac sign.
Man, so it really is the 70s. It's the 70s. We've got the inflation, the gas lines, the tarot cards, the astrology, like all the pieces coming
really
into place.
Tarot
cards never went out of style. They fluctuate, right? They cycle and they get really popular at times of, I would say, uncertainty.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, too, is that we also have this kind of cultural confusion and a diminished trust in institutions. And we're like, OK, sure, why not? Crystals, tarot, you know, I don't know who to trust anymore. Everybody's trying to extract money from me. So I guess I'll turn to the stars.
UFOs are getting more attention.
Yeah.
Like they did in the 70s.
Yep.
I bet mediums, you know, like spiritual contacting. Yeah. All of that goes together.
Totally. But I will say, having done a bit of the tarot reading back in the 90s, I'm kind of excited about this. I kind of want to get some.
Candyman. Not looking in a mirror.
Not cool.
Though.
Don't say that.
Also not looking in a mirror. So
never say turn a mirror.
That movie, but they made that movie again. That's another example, isn't it?
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unacceptable. That's like the scariest movie I've ever seen.
It'll turn your hair white.
No. I still can barely even use like a public restroom where they have the pit toilet
because
thing.
Because of that movie?
Mm-hmm. I'm very impressionable when it comes to scary movies.
Right. No, I got it. It's
unacceptable. Something should not come back.
No spoilers if you haven't ever seen it. But
I'm so mad now. So mad.
Well, if your hair does turn white from fear, don't worry. It's fashionable. Silver hair. It's in. Kids are doing it. Kids are doing it. Gray hair has become fashionable for younger people who sometimes dye their hair to achieve the look of women like Sarah Harris, the deputy editor of British Vogue, who has long gray hair and found her first strand of gray at age 16. And just went with it. There's also feeding into this, people not wanting to dye their own hair, not being able to get to the salon during lockdowns, and just going gray and saying, you know what? I'll just keep it. Mm-hmm. There's a whole article in The Guardian about women on the red carpet at Cannes Film Festival just rocking the gray hair, you know, in the past would have been a little bit unusual. And the Chicago Tribune even has an article on best silver hair dyes and how to do it.
I love the silver. Like when young people who maybe aren't even naturally gray dye the hair, like I love how that looks. The super like silver hair. I'm just like, oh my God, that exists as a hair dye. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And also, yes. I mean, people like when your hair goes gray in the right way, it's gorgeous. It looks so cool.
This article in the Tribune is talking about, like, you know, not everybody can pull off just going gray. Most people need to tweak it a little to make it look good.
Yes.
It's like, wow. So this is not even like, oh, you want to go gray? Okay. It's like, we know the best way to do this.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. It's like, let's go gray and make it look awesome. I'm looking through the Silver Sisters hashtag and it is pretty delightful.
Yeah, Silver Sisters is a hashtag that started early in the lockdown, apparently, and is still going strong with people just saying, you know what? I didn't dye my hair because of the lockdown, and I'm fine with it.
And it looks so cool. Yeah, I like this. I'm excited about this trend.
This came up for me because we were talking to a friend of ours who's let her hair in the front go gray, like a shock of white. And it looks awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I know, I feel that I'm going to get mail about this, but I feel that as a blonde, I'm kind of doomed because it's never going to look good. Like, it's not going to ever be dramatic.
Oh, I see.
It's just going to look
sad. But you also can't really tell until it all goes.
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm at. Like, I'm actually, like, quite gray, but no one knows.
Right.
Except in my beard. In my beard, it you can see it. But in my actual hair, it's just kind of just blends
in. It's kind of invisible. Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, I look blonder than I used to because I've got all this lighter colored hair in there.
Right. Totally. Oh, I want this really pretty long silver hair. It looks so good.
Yeah, just do it. Go for the silver. I love it.
I know. Seriously. Okay. Good one. Good thing. Love it. Less of a good thing, I'm sorry to report. I have been on a bunch of reporting trips lately, all with millennials, and millennials can't sleep.
Well, it's no surprise. take responsibility for everything that happens.
I mean, I guess
keep
so.
Me
it's
up
true.
At night too.
It's true. They've embraced their anxiety. They're on their phones all the time. They're like, you know, in total student debt, all of these things. And yes, I know it seems
if
like
there's
a
anything
grand...
wrong in the world, it's my fault. Is seems to be many millennials' mode of operations.
I guess so. Yeah, and also we're screwed. And also we're on our phones all the time and blue something.
Oh, right.
Something
yeah.
Blue light.
Also, everything is wrong.
Everything is wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're never going to be able to buy houses.
By the way, speaking for Generation X, and I know we're individuals are all different. And if you're a millennial, you're like, I'm not like that. We totally get it. But, and not all Gen Xers are the same. Generation X also thinks everything is wrong. We're just like resigned to it. And we have been since
we were teens.
Because
it's always been
wrong. Yeah. Yeah. We're like, yeah, it's wrong. It was the boomers messed it up, but whatever. All right. We'll do our best.
If Gen X was as therapized as millennials are, we would almost certainly be having a long conversation about the epigenetic trauma that comes from thinking you are going to get nuked.
Yeah.
For most of your childhood.
It does reset your expectations quite a bit.
It really does. Like, I know we didn't, you know, my dad talks about this a lot. Boomers tend to talk about.
Yeah.
How, like, we didn't have a war, right? We didn't have our opportunities taken away.
No, we just had constant threat of annihilation.
Constant threat of literal annihilation.
And I don't know that if you're younger, you can quite understand it. You can understand it conceptually, but you can't understand the, like, daily dread, because it's not the same as climate change. Climate change is the looming annihilation that can happen and is happening slowly. Nuclear annihilation was like, it could happen this second.
Yeah. You
right?
could just and be this, at school one day and all you would be able to do is hide under your desk.
Right.
Those and so, drills. Are you kidding me?
When there's like, when there's a bombing, I think that's why older people freaked out more about the missile strike in Iran than younger people, because older people were like, if we had done that in the 80s.
Yeah.
Nuclear war.
Would you like to play global thermonuclear war?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember there was a Reagan did a missile strike in Libya, and everybody's like, we may not be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's anyway, I did not mean to make this about us,
which is a
very unusual thing for Gen Xers to do. But it is this, I don't know why the resilience is different. I mean, it seems like there are also a lot of other environmental factors, but I'm just absolutely astonished at the extent of insomnia in this generation. And it is terrible for people. Like, you got to sleep.
Yeah. So my questions are immediately like, well, is it that they can't sleep more than other people could at that age? Or is it just that they're noticing it now as they reach that age? And I don't have an answer for that. It may be just like when you get into your 40s, you know, late 30s and into 40s, you sleep less. That's just true. So maybe the millennials are just noticing this because that's, you know, the time in your life when you start to have all your worries and you're not young and you're getting older and all that sort of thing. I don't know.
I mean, I'm talking about people in their late 20s and their early 30s. And I do think there's probably something to the phone thing. Although, I don't know. I play my dumb little like home design game every night before I go to bed.
Sure.
Yeah. Good at sleeping. I don't know. I think I've always thought that there are some people who are good at sleeping and some people who aren't good at sleeping. And I feel terrible for the ones who are not good at sleeping.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I do feel
my wife is one of the people who's not good at getting to sleep. Once she's asleep, sleep in, right? Not a problem. But
yeah,
she stays up late. Whereas I'm like, once I'm ready to sleep, I'm off. I'm like, goodbye.
Yep. Exactly. Like immediately.
Powering down.
For like a minimum of 8 hours. Like I am asleep. And it's probable that I'm very interested in this topic because I myself am a sleep achiever.
Mm.
It's my superpower. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it just seems like long term, that's not good for them. And also, I'm just startled at the extent of it and the kind of casualness with which everyone discusses it.
Yeah, I've noticed discussions about this recently, like, oh, this will help you sleep. People talking about things to help you sleep.
Well, and, yes, and
it hadn't
exactly.
really occurred to me that this was like a widespread trend like this.
It's like a freaking epidemic. And yeah. I think it's led to, I think we even talked on the show once about how melatonin is a thing. Everyone's taking yeah. melatonin. And now there are like versions of, I mean, there have always been sleep aids, of course, in varying degrees of intensity. And now they've gotten, I think, a little less. What's that one that like people take and then they text people and they don't know that they texted them, or they eat all the bread in the house?
Oh, Ambien.
Ambien. Exactly. Yeah. I think we've like moved from Ambien.
And they've been using knives and scare the crap out of themselves.
Yes, totally. There's probably a whole Instagram for Ambien texts. Uh-huh. But I think now it's moved into, it's more like CBD oil and yeah. melatonin, and people trying to come up with these more gentle sleep aids. But I think it's just back to the epidemic of like, millennials can't freaking sleep, dude.
Okay, here I'm putting together a theory here. Let's take the millennial out of it for a second. It is no shocker after the year we've had, the year and a half that we've had, that people can't sleep.
Well, yes, right? That is very true.
There's like, it would be shocking if they're like, hey, guess what? As the pandemic seems to be slowing, everybody's sleeping through the night like babies. No, like we're in that point where we're like having the post-traumatic stress before the event is over situation, right? So of course people can't sleep. So then it becomes like, well, why does it seem that maybe it's affecting people in this age group more than others? In which case it's like, I go back to the like, cause they're in the age group where you start to sleep less. The older people are like, yeah. No, I'm used to, I don't sleep as much or as long as I did when I was younger. And I've learned to deal with it maybe. And so it doesn't bother me as much. And this is the age group where like, no, I used to sleep great. What the crap? And it's accentuated because it's worse because we're living through one of the most stressful periods of humanity has ever had.
Right. And we're millennials. So if something goes wrong, we believe we have to fix it immediately because there is no learning to live with it.
Coverage aspect of it because mm-hmm. millennials and boomers tend to get overcovered versus other age groups. Yeah. Yeah. That all uh-huh. contributes. That all, you know, adds yep. a little brick to the pile.
Yep. It's a thing.
It's definitely a thing.
Producer Rich says, I just take a dose of laudanum and I go right out.
Ah, laudanum. Yes. Good old fashioned laudanum. Do you go down to your apothecary to get your dose of laudanum?
He's not. Rich defies classification.
Right. He does live in Dickensian times. That's the neighborhood he's in.
Of laudanum, the Victorian's favorite drug.
Let's get your favorite things. Emails to feedback@itsathing.me. Manny has a thing he just needs to confirm. Loki, that's it. No elaboration needed. Just a huge thing. Like 100%, Manny, you're not wrong.
Also, I love that it is becoming a reference for a collection of things. There was like a... There was some photo circulating, and I don't know why, and it was sort of a bunch of celebrities, and Tilda Swinton was one of them. And then it became sort of a meme because people were like, what the hell with this photo? I think they all look so hipster and weird.
Oh, it was from the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, it was? Okay. Yeah,
because
like,
it was Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, the director of all the movies that are Bill Murray. Why can't I think of it? Wes Anderson.
Oh, Wes Anderson,
And who was the young kid in it?
It was, according to Rich, a cast photo from the French Dispatch.
Yeah. It was Wes Anderson, Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, and the young kid whose name I'm too old to remember now.
I did not encounter it until it was already well and truly memed, which I hate, right? Because you're like, I don't know the origin of this, but here it is meme. But the first one that I saw, and it made me laugh out loud, was they're all Lokis. It was like, spoiler alert, they're all Lokis. And I was like, oh, bravo, sir.
Bravo. You win the internet.
Timothy
Chalamet. That's
I was wondering if it was him. It's got to be.
Yep.
Young and vaguely French. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, yes, you're right, Manny. New patron James, welcome! Wrote in with a thing confirmation saying, I can't believe I hadn't already joined the Patreon for It's a Thing. Shame on me. Just wanted to drop a note.
No shame. You got here. That's all that
you're
matters.
You're here, buddy. You're here. That's all that matters. The dating app for platonic friends is a revelation for me, writes James. 2020 was especially rough on me, and I started driving a truck this year. From time to time, I find myself stuck in random places across the U.S., and I wish I had someone to text and say, hey, let's catch a movie or have dinner. I'm looking forward to putting this into action with the explicit approval of my wife, of course.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Oh, that's awesome. James, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. If I report back, James. That's fantastic. I hadn't even thought about that, right?
I know.
It's like, yeah, I just, you know, I want to go see Loki. Not a theater, but yeah. No, it's good.
Yep, love it.
Matt in Minnesota needs a thing check. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
I need a thing check on charcuterie boards. Until about a year ago, I had never heard of a charcuterie board, but now I see them everywhere. Even a regional Midwest grocery chain is advertising them on my podcasts.
Wow. This is an example of a California bubble in action. Because I didn't realize that they had expanded. Like, they've been a thing here because we're...
Well, I do. I can sort of vaguely recall
fancier,
like,
and fancier ones. Yeah.
Charcuterie boards first showing up on a restaurant that wasn't like Michelin star, right? Like, oh, they have a charcuterie board. How fancy. And then they started showing up at gastropubs, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, charcuterie boards. Then I would see the terminology in a grocery store. Like, oh, this grocery store thinks they have a charcuterie board. Okay. So all that's telling me is like, yeah, it's now expanded beyond the coast. Yeah.
I had started following Lady and Larder, which does like really fancy ones. And I will say, I just did a little duck as we're talking here. And sure enough, Washingtonian.com with an article from, once again, Friday. Elaborate charcuterie board businesses boomed in the pandemic.
I wonder why. Because easy to deliver?
As
like good fancy food, but it doesn't need to be heated. Because if anybody's like, what is a charcuterie board? It's like delicious meats and cheeses. Mostly.
Yeah, it's like a cheese plate, but like they've gotten way fancier. So it'll be like a beautiful design of cheese. It's like, you know, cheese and salami and crackers and then like some fruits and some olives and some nuts and some dates and this and that.
And it travels well. That makes sense to me.
It says, according to this article, at least, boomed as people sought out creative takeout options and ways to entertain small groups or just themselves at home.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Charcuterie is shooting up the charts.
Anyway, Matt nailed it. And I see what you did there with the chart thing.
Thank you.
A little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you. We could have let that just lay on the board.
But no. You worked hard, man. You worked hard. Kyle wrote in with a bar thing. Longtime fan of both of you and all the shows you're part of, with a special shout out to Molly. Aw, because Kyle's a fellow former Montanan, now also living in California. I'm in Sacramento and visit the Bay Area often. And says, speaking of the Bay Area, I was in San Francisco last week and stayed the night in the financial district. We went out exploring all day and randomly popped into a bar called Horse Feather. And the first thing that caught my eye was all the dehydrated fruit on the bar. Mm-hmm. I might not have noticed it had I not just listened to your episode about it on the drive over to the city. Another thing I found interesting was they had Pisco Punch on the menu. We tried it. Wasn't my type of drink, but my husband liked it. Thanks for keeping me in the loop. Aw. And Kyle says, I finally decided I needed to write in as well as join your Patreon and Discord today as well.
Yay!
Kyle, welcome!
Welcome, Kyle. Yay! Everybody say hi to Kyle. Welcome.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, James. The new guys. Yay!
Good stuff.
I love it.
Well,
also, I am not into the Pisco drinks. No. Don't put egg in my
Pisco
drink.
Punch.
It's gross. It's gross.
I'll put an egg in anything. He says, wondering.
I thought that until I had egg white drinks, and I was like, nope.
I really would eat an egg in pretty much anything. We'll
Except
see.
Except drinks.
Here's the thing. People are going to be like, would you eat an egg in motor oil? No, I wouldn't eat motor oil. I'd eat an egg in anything edible. Put it that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about salagate culture. Put an egg on it. Every single food. But not drink.
I just had eggs for brunch, I guess. It was breakfast. It was the first meal, but it was late.
I made a big pot of rice last night, so I had rice, avocado, and fried eggs on top. One of my all-time favorite breakfasts.
So good. All right, let's get to our shout-outs, which coincidentally are based on charcuterie-cured meats.
What do you know? Inspiration strikes in many many ways. In case you are new here, welcome. The shout outs are reserved for the folks who support us at patreon.com/itsathing at the shout out level, although all of you make the show possible. Here we go. The more time Lee Price has spent fermenting, the drier he will be. meaning certain types of Lee Price will be juicier and fattier than others.
Which one supports us? We'll let you decide. Kevin Sill is a must try if you're a fan of cured patrons. Spanish Kevin Sill is made with pork and is commonly classified into two types, sweet or spicy.
As the name implies, Eric Duncan is made with cured and seasoned pork fat specifically from the pig's back. Because the texture and flavor of Eric is so rich, you'll usually find him sliced thinly and served with bread.
I'm starting to feel like Hannibal.
That got messed up. That got messed up.
Jake Woods is seasoned with wine, usually red, garlic, and other seasonings before he's salt cured and air dried, often more expensive than other Italian cured patrons. You'll find Jake has a delicate texture with a fatty and spicy flavor.
Get a little Snowpiercer vibe here. Originating in China, Gabriel Cohen is a dried patron with a slightly sweet flavor and a hint of five spice. With a harder texture than other patrons on this list, you'll commonly find her served in other dishes.
One of the most popular additions to any charcuterie board, Joe Hood, is a style of dry cured Spanish ham, has been dated back to the Roman Empire. He's best served with bread.
This thick, hard, dry cured patron seasoned with fresh garlic and black peppercorns is a classic French meat. Louis Saint Amour is most often made from pork. The outside will develop white mold as he hangs, ferments, and dries out. But don't be afraid. This is normal.
Similar to a pâté, but more approachable to many people, Mike Akins is made from slow-cooked meat like pork or duck, shredded, and mixed with fat rendered during the cooking process and served chilled.
A coarsely ground, very fatty, dry-cured patron made with black pepper and garlic from Calabria, Vicenza, and Tuscany, James C. Smith pairs well with fresh fruit like blackberries.
I want to hasten to add, we never would eat any of our patrons.
I was just going to say, it's a thing. The podcast where we eat the patrons.
Yes. We appreciate you. So if you don't want to be delicious. Eaten, yeah, but want to sound delicious, become a patron at the shout out level.
Or at any level, if you prefer to avoid all of this awkwardness. One more time, that's patreon.com/it's a thing. Thank you for all your support.
You can also email us your things. Don't forget, feedback@itsathing.me. Totally safe.
Juicy, fatty, thinly sliced patrons. See you next week.
Bye, everybody. Give it to me.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.